May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be ever acceptable before you, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen. There's an old military saying, no plan survives contact. As much as we can prepare and plan, events can change. The unexpected can and often does happen. What matters in that situation then is how we adapt, and are we willing to change? Since I joined the Ranger Regiment as their chaplain earlier this year, I've tried my very best to keep up with them during regimental PT sessions. I say tried because I haven't always managed it. I'm not a natural runner, and if there's one thing I find the hardest, it's when we go for a run as a group, and just as we're about to turn back into camp, the PTIs take us past the gate to do a couple more laps. It's a test to see how resilient we are, how do we respond when things get hard and don't go as expected, but it's also a test that I really do not like. The Bible reading that we just heard is all about someone who is willing to adapt and change. Someone who responded to the situation around them in more ways than one. The man's name was Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. Now, tax collectors were not popular people then, and I think some things still haven't changed. I certainly do not envy Rachel Reeves and the challenge of balancing the nation's books that brings. I think if there's one thing that's bound to make a person unpopular, it's to be known as someone who's trying to take our money away from us. And so back to our Bible reading. It's at this point in time that Israel was under Roman occupation. And the Romans, as they did in all their territories, collected taxes. And they sometimes employed local people to do this job. Zacchaeus was one of these people. However, the local population would resent the tax collectors. They saw them as traitors, people willing to work for the enemy. And not only that, the tax collectors would create for themselves a wage by overtaxing. They would not only collect what the Romans demanded, but they would demand a little more, and they would skim this extra amount off the top. This made them very wealthy, but also very unpopular. So not only were they considered traitors, but they were also considered crooks as well. Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. He'd heard about the things that Jesus had been doing and saying. Perhaps he'd heard about how Jesus had welcomed Levi the tax collector. But whatever his motivation, he decides he wants to see Jesus for himself. But there's a problem. Zacchaeus wasn't very tall, and a big crowd had gathered. What was he to do? Well, Zacchaeus adapts. He overcomes the challenge before him and climbs a nearby sycamore tree. It was perhaps a little undignified for him. But then it wasn't as if Zacchaeus was held in high regard. And so with nothing to lose, he scampers up the tree just in time to see Jesus. And as Jesus is walking along, he spots Zacchaeus up in the tree and tells him to come down, and that he wants to join him for dinner that evening. The crowd are shocked. Jesus was meant to be a holy man, a religious teacher, the Messiah even. And he would spend time with sinners. He would spend time with those who have made mistakes and have a bad reputation. But if we read the gospel stories about Jesus, we see that's exactly the kind of people that Jesus was interested in. In fact, Jesus found himself getting frustrated with the religious teachers of his day who had failed to show love, kindness, and mercy. Zacchaeus was so overwhelmed by Jesus reaching out to him that he makes big changes in his life. He pledges to give half his possessions to the poor and to pay back anyone he has cheated. He changes. Meeting Jesus was enough for him to realize that he needed to change. He wants at that point to live for something different, something more than just for money. And he found in Jesus something better to live for. And so Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Zacchaeus might have climbed the tree in order to see Jesus, but in this encounter, it is Jesus who sees Zacchaeus. Not as a crook or a traitor to be avoided, but as a person. Others may have turned away from Zacchaeus in disgust. They would have avoided speaking him. Certainly they wouldn't have invited him to their house or wouldn't be going to his for a meal. He would have been someone who was not noticed. And if he was noticed, then perhaps just for the wrong reasons. But Jesus sees the person, made in God's image. Jesus notices Zacchaeus, and he knows him by his name. And so Jesus is challenging those societal norms in this encounter. The religious leaders of the time would have said that Zacchaeus was a sinner, that he could not be embraced until he has repented and changed and conformed to their standards. Jesus, however, reaches out to Zacchaeus as he is. He shows him love and kindness not because of his actions, but despite of them. Jesus meets us where we are also. But he doesn't leave us there. He didn't leave Zacchaeus up the tree, but he brings him down. It is in this encounter with Jesus, after being shown that love, that Zacchaeus changes. He realizes for himself that he's done wrong, although perhaps he knew all along that cheating people wasn't the right thing to have done. But now he's experienced the love of Christ and true grace. He wants to live in that life, in that love, and he wants to change. His values in life have been reordered. And so he doesn't just say sorry, but he acts. Then the man who once took from others now gives. Salvation is transformative. And Jesus is likewise calling out to each of us by our names. And if we ever feel like we can't see Jesus, that we, like Zacchaeus, have become lost, then perhaps we also need to adapt and respond, to move and look for Jesus. And in doing so, we find that Jesus is already looking at us. Jesus did not come to condemn the lost, but to save them. And Zacchaeus, in turn, welcomed Jesus not just into his home, but into his life. At the start of our service today, I read that verse from Revelation. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. In this verse, Jesus is telling us that he wants to be invited into our lives. Whenever I see this verse, I think of that famous painting by Holman Hunt, The Light of Christ. In it, Christ, the light of the world, stands holding a lantern, and he's knocking on a door. Famously, Holman Hunt never painted a door handle on the outside. The handle, he reasoned, is on the inside. Christ is standing and knocking on the doors of our lives, but it is up for us to respond to that knock, to move and open the door and welcome him in. And in doing so, then we will find our lives are transformed.